So-called higher learning that I was subjected to in divinity school, we were barraged with a great deal of theologians and highly renowned and world famous smart guys. One of them's name was Karl Barth, and he had written book after book after book, and we'd read so much of what he had done, and it was deep, and it was thought-provoking, and it was full and rich. But he was asked one time, Karl Barth was, what's the most significant, what's the most important thing about God and the Bible he'd ever learned? And he said, simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The most important thing he said he'd ever learned. And that's exactly what hopefully, yeah, there you go, okay, good. That's exactly what your children are going to be learning today. I invite you to turn with me, please, once again, to the 23rd Psalm today. Good to see everybody. As we said before, 23rd Psalm, right there very near the center of your Bible. Psalm 23, there's 6 verses. And we'll read them all again. Beginning in verse 1, David wrote this psalm as inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Some years ago in Great Britain, there was a function going on, and one of England's leading actors was asked to recite for the pleasure of his fellow guests. He considered and asked if there was anything that anybody there in the audience would like to hear. After a few moments' pause, an old clergyman, a preacher, stood up and said, "Could you, sir, recite for us the 23rd Psalm?" A strange look passed over the actor's face, and he paused for a moment, and then he said, "I can, and I will, upon one condition, and that is that after I have recited it, my friend, you will do the same." "I," said the clergyman in surprise, "but I'm not an elocutionist. However, if you wish, I will do so." Impressively, the great actor began the psalm. His voice and his intonation were perfect. He held his audience spellbound, and as he finished, a great burst of applause broke from the guests. Then as it died away, the old clergyman arose and began the psalm. His voice was not remarkable. His intonation was not flawless. When he had finished, no sound of applause broke the silence. But there was not a dry eye in the room, and many heads were bowed. Then the actor rose to his feet again. His voice shook as he laid his hand on the shoulder of the old clergyman, and he said, "I reached your eyes and your ears, my friends. He reached your hearts. The difference is just this. I know the 23rd Psalm, but he knows the shepherd." Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You as always for Your amazing grace. That You, the Master, the Creator, the Lord, the King, the God of heaven and earth, can find the time to hear a child's prayer, have found a heart of love to forgive us for the many, many times in our lives, if not already today, that we have failed to be obedient to You, God, and shown us so much grace, so much patience, so much love, even unto giving Your very Son His body and His blood on the cross of Calvary so that we might be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life. Lord, as we've gathered here in Your name today, we pray that the rest of the week, whatever ails, whatever problems, whatever concerns, whatever thoughts, whatever issues might have guarded up our time all week long, Lord, that all that would go away for a few moments, Lord, that we might focus on You, that we might offer a sacrifice of praise to You, and that we might, each and every heart, hear from You, our God, exactly what You would have to say to us. We thank You for being the Good Shepherd, and we pray that You would help us to hear Your voice above all the noise of the world, that we might follow it and be blessed. For it's in Jesus' name, as always, that we gather, we sing, we read the Word, and we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. The 23rd Psalm, we've been walking our way through it, and I want to focus today on the first half of verse 5. It says in verse 5 of Psalm 23, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We'll take a look at both halves of that half of a verse, but we'll take a look at You prepare a table before me to start with. There was a story about a young boy, 5 years old, and his mother, and she was cooking supper and getting everything ready, trying to prepare dinner for everybody, and the little boy, 5 years old, was helping her there in the kitchen. You know how it works, and this sort of thing. And at one point, she said to him, Johnny, would you go in there in the cupboard and get me a can of that tomato soup? And the problem was, he's just 5 years old. It's dark in that cupboard. I mean, there wasn't any light in there. It's dark. He's a little afraid of the dark. He said, I'm afraid to. And she said, don't worry, Johnny. Jesus will go with you in there. You'll be fine. So the little boy walked over to the cupboard and he cracked the door open. I mean, it's dark in there. And he looked in and he's just still kind of afraid. And he whispered and he said, Jesus, if you were in there, would you hand me a can of that tomato soup? But they were preparing a table. Now there's some ladies around here that can, showing up, I mean really prepare a table. And looking at you men, say amen, okay? Now they can absolutely flat out get a table together, okay? We were doing some service work and splitting some wood for the association and some other people needed. The Baptist men were yesterday, and we had breakfast out at Cousin Gary's before yesterday. We went out there at 7:30 and didn't eat the breakfast buffet, okay? Now I'm going to tell you, that is a table. All right, now we had the eggs and the bacon and the sausage and the grits and the biscuits and the gravy and the hash brown casserole, and we had the there was fruit there. I didn't mess with any of that, but there was fruit there, and there was pancakes, and there was French toast and syrup, and man, that was some kind of table, and that's the stuff. And I remember, I think back fondly as I'm thinking about this verse, that my mom used to get a big meal ready a lot of nights after work, and we'd have a big supper, and certainly on Sunday after church we'd have a big meal, and boy, she could put a table together. And my grandma, who can amen that? Boy, she could put a table together, amen. Fried chicken and all grades of stuff. I'm talking about put a table together, prepare it right. And here's what I want you to know this morning. Not my grandma, not my in-laws, not my mom, not even Cousin Gary's, no buffet that we've ever been to, no table has ever been prepared that compare at all to the table that God has prepared before us. Amen? Okay? They all pale in comparison. You know, preparing a good table, as you ladies and gentlemen know, it takes time. I mean, you know, it takes hours sometimes to mix stuff together and cook and bake it just right and get it not only to where it tastes good, but where it look good. Preparing a good table takes a lot of time. And listen, God has taken the time to prepare a table for us, okay? Years, centuries, millennia, thousands of years, God has prepared a table for us and the table that we have before us. Preparing a good table takes a lot of love, okay? It takes a lot of love to do that and consideration, and God has done that even to allowing His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. in preparation for the table that is before us. Okay, God has put the love in that's required to prepare a good table. Preparing a good table takes a lot of thought. It takes thoughtfulness. Not just what is wanted on the table, but what is needed on the table. I'll never forget as long as I live, because I get to do it over and over. Courtney's family had a specific Thanksgiving Day menu that they prepared every year, and it was traditional, and her mom is a whale of a cook and does everything basically from scratch. Good gracious, I don't know how she does it, but she puts all this together, and they had specific dishes, and they had the exact same thing every year. But when I became a member of their family, she came to me and she says, "Is there any particular dish that you would like to have prepared on Thanksgiving?" And that was a nice, thoughtful gesture for her. And I said, "Well, you know, I could eat my weight in broccoli casserole. I mean, I just make myself sick on that stuff." And so she made it. I mean, good stuff too, you know. Put it together, and we've had it every year. And that was very, very thoughtful of her. And so making a good table prepares, takes a lot of thought. And God has put a lot of thought into the table that He has prepared for us. But let's talk about what's on that table for just a minute. A lot of us Christians, we like to fill up on the desserts, amen? Okay, the sweet stuff, the cakes, the pies, all that kind of thing. But I'm talking about the spiritual desserts, the spiritual sweet stuff that's on God's table. We like to fill up on the forgiveness, okay? We like to fill up on that mercy. And we like to, and this, hey, nothing wrong with the forgiveness and the mercy. Nothing wrong with the sweet stuff, amen? Alright, we like to fill up on that grace, and we like to fill up on that loving kindness and the provision and the blessing, and that's all well and good, but we can't just fill up on that. See, we don't like to fill up too much on the nutritious spiritual fruits and vegetables, the meat and potatoes kind of stuff that's on God's table, like discipleship. Okay? A lot of us, we want to skip over the spiritual growth and go right to the sweet stuff and the desserts, okay? The spiritual vegetables like Bible reading and prayer and going out on missions and doing evangelism and inviting friends to church, okay? Following and doing service, okay? These are the things that God has put on His table for us. And I remember Mom used to put vegetables on the table that I didn't necessarily want. You know what I'm saying? Okay, she'd put them out there, not because I wanted them, but because I needed them, right? I needed them to grow. I needed them to be healthy. I needed them to be strong, okay? I needed them to be fed nutritionally, okay? I couldn't have dessert until I'd eaten that other stuff. Y'all with me on that? Anybody say amen to that? I wasn't allowed to have the pie or the cake until I'd eaten the vegetables. Now, just a minute now. How in the world would eating the vegetables first, does that make that cake any less sugary whatsoever? Does it make the pie any less fattening at all if I eat my meat first? No. But I got to make sure that I get the nutritional value before I'm allowed to have the other stuff too. If left to our own devices, some of us would just fill up on the sugar. We went to Burger King after we unloaded all that wood yesterday, and they were having a grand reopening party, and I got one cheeseburger, but I got two pieces of cake, okay? I got two, it was free, and I got two pieces of cake. They were small, alright? They were really half pieces of cake, so it was just one, alright? They cut them in halves because they was giving it away. But anyway, what we end up doing is we try to go right straight to the dessert. And what I hear a lot of Christians in this day and age, not so much you, but a lot of Christians in this day and age and in this world saying is that they're not getting fed. I just don't feel like I'm getting fed, or I feel a hunger and I want to get fed. Let me tell you something. If we don't hear anything else this morning, God's Word says in Psalm 23:5, He said, David did, that the Lord, He said, "You prepare a table before me." If any of us are not getting fed, it's not because God didn't provide a table. It's not because God didn't prepare a table in love and thoughtfulness, okay, in consideration. It's not that God didn't provide a table with the things on it we need. If we're not getting fed, it's either because we're not at the table or we're just too picky about eating what's on it. Some of us are just a little bit too finicky eaters and guilty as charged sometimes, okay? Some of us are just a little bit too finicky eaters when it comes to eating what God has put on the table before us. The thing is about the cake and the pie, I like it then and I still do, okay? But the thing about it is, cake and pie are real good, but if you take the individual ingredients that's in it, and try to eat them separately and unprepared, they're not very good. Okay, flour by itself ain't much count, right? All right. Raw eggs by themselves are not very good to eat. We wouldn't find much enjoyment. Just plain sugar, if you didn't have it fixed somehow in something, isn't very good to eat. Listen to me, folks. God has taken the best ingredients in life and taken the time and the love and the preparation to put them together to provide the blessings that you know that are prepared in just the right amounts and baked and prepared and allowed to cure just the right amount of time to bless you the utmost. Turn to your spouse for just a moment. Okay, that involves God taking all the ingredients that you need and put them together in just the right amounts and preparing them just the right amount of time so that it would be a sweet dessert to you most of the time. That's how God does with His table, right? See, the table is there to nourish us. It is there to sustain us. It's also there not just for the nutritional value, but also the fellowship. See, when we go to the table as a family, we sit and we share with each other about our day. Okay, we talk and we love each other and we learn and we look at all this and we get fellowship out of it as well. Daniel, put up 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. God's Word said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let me ask you this morning, is the Lord good? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? All right? Can you testify to the goodness of the Lord our God? Amen. Now then, on the other side of that coin, listen for just a minute. If what we have tasted of Jesus Christ, if what we know of Jesus Christ is that good, what would more be like? If the closeness I enjoy at this stage in my walk to Jesus Christ, and it says I've tasted it and it's good and the Bible's right, amen, I can testify. I didn't need Peter to tell me that, but I'm glad he did. It is good. If the closeness to Jesus Christ that I enjoy at this point in my life is good, how good would more or closer be? If the amount of Christ-likeness that God has been able to forge in me to this point in my life is good, and I've tasted it and it's good, how much better would more Christ-likeness be? Okay? No matter where we are today in our walk with God, no matter how long you or I may have been a Christian, no matter where we are or how old we are, okay, God has not yet called you or I home. He has not yet called us home because He has prepared a table before you and me that we have not yet finished partaking of. There is something else left for you to partake of. There's something else left for us to take. We haven't either taken it or we're not finished with it. There's going to be a feast in heaven. Amen. The wedding supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ and Jesus will take us home to His Father's house and we will sit down at the table and we will enjoy that feast together. But here's what I want you to know this morning. Every single one of us, teenager, youngster, retired person, hardworking mother or father, God has prepared a table for every single one of us every day. Every day there is a table prepared for you of something for you to partake of. We all, every single one of us, have something yet that Christ wants us to know. We all, every one of us, have some area in our life where Jesus wants us to grow. We all, every one of us, have somewhere that God wants us to go. Everybody. In order that we might continue to grow in the Lord, we've got to eat from the table that He prepared for us. If we stop eating, we stop growing. Let me ask you a question again this morning. How's your spiritual appetite? Are we going back for seconds? Are we digging for more of God? Or maybe we lost a little bit of our spiritual appetite. God has prepared a table for you and I every single day that we might be blessed by it. It can't be avoided, though. It can't be overlooked. It can't be excluded that the psalm says, the verse says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. See, that part can't be left out. Listen to me, folks. The sooner you and I recognize that we have an enemy, okay, in this world, the better off we're going to be. We have an enemy. All right, and I want to tell you this morning that enemy that we have is no respecter of persons. He doesn't hate the preacher any more than he hates you. He doesn't want to ruin my life any more than he wants to ruin yours. He wants to cause damage. He wants to cause heartache. He wants to cause a lot of problems in your life. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8, you know this. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. See, the enemy's walking around wreaking havoc, causing all grades of problems, causing the consequences that we have in our life, okay? All the death, all the destruction, all the dismay, all the heartache, all the pain, all the suffering, all the grief is caused by the enemy of God. God doesn't want those consequences for you and I. He desires that in my life and yours, even though these things inevitably occur in this fallen world, that we would glorify His name. Jesus speaking in John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief, that's the enemy, comes to steal and kill and destroy. Steal your happiness, kill your relationship, destroy your life. Okay, he comes to do that. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, that's us, and have it to the full. God has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Now show the first picture, Daniel. In the verse, it says table. And going back to the original Hebrew, it's not necessarily talking about a table in respects to this. Now we're going to use that imagery, and it's perfect, and it's fruitful. But he's talking about the Spanish word mesa, okay? It's a tabletop kind of mountain. And what the shepherd would inevitably do is go through and go ahead of the sheep at some point and find where the best pastures were on the mountaintop, on that mesa, on that table out there. And he'd find the spot where not only was it the best grass and the best clover and there was plenty of water supply, but it was on a good spot, maybe up high away where the predators not only maybe not be able to get to, but you could see them coming, okay? All right, the shepherd has gone ahead and prepared the table for the sheep to come to where they'll be fed and safe and provided for, okay? That's what David was talking about. He has prepared a table for me. See, we can't lose the fact that last week we were talking about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, He is with me, okay? God was with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But as we're in that valley, we've got to remember He's already gone ahead. He's already prepared a table on the other end of that valley of the shadow of the death, and He's leading us to that. All right, He's gone ahead, He's got the table ready, and that's where we're headed, is to a spot where we are not only fed, not only watered, but we're also, listen, protected from the predator that is the enemy. The enemy's there, but God's got a place for us where we're protected from His schemes. When I was a little boy, I used to play hide-and-go-seek. And you hide your eyes and mostly hide them. And you count to 20 or 30 or 50 or 100, and the other kids would go hide, and then you'd go try to find them. And if you were one of the ones that was hiding, the object was to get back to home base, okay, before you were found. And if you made it to the home base, you were what? You were safe. And played a lot of baseball. And, you know, with a few minor circumstances, as long as you're on that base, you're safe, okay? You can't be put out. And then we played tag, and as long as you were on, you could get to the base before you got tagged, you were safe. You were protected. All right? This table that God has prepared for you and me as His good sheep, all right, it is a place of safety and provision where we can be safe from harm and protected from the enemy's very schemes. That's the imagery of the table. What's more is if we go back to the imagery of the physical table, when we sit at the Lord's table, what is it that we take? What is it that we eat? Now, if you're thinking in your mind, but if we're at the Lord's table, maybe we're eating the Lord's Supper. You're right, okay? If that's what you were thinking, give yourself an A for today, all right? When we're at the Lord's table, we have the Lord's Supper. And what is it that we partake of? What is it that we accept when we take upon the Lord's Supper, yet but the body and the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen? Y'all with me? Alright? We take the very essence of Christ Himself at the Lord's table in the Lord's Supper. It is the provision of Christ Himself at the Lord's table that will protect us from the consequences of our enemy. As he's scheming and planning and distracting and trying to get people to go down a different road and not follow the shepherd, we need to understand that in Christ is the church. In Christ is his word. In Christ is his fellowship. And if we will go to that table, then we will find protection from the enemy. Protection from the consequences. Our nourishment at that table is Christ Himself. If we are partaking of the church, if we have partaken of the sacrifice, the denying ourselves daily and taking up our cross, if we are partaken of the duty to glorify God, okay, then we find ourselves in that place of protection. And God has prepared that table every single day. Think about this for a minute. What's on my table? For some of us, it's, and I hope you'll partake of it, it's a True Love Waits rally tonight. That's on your table today. Will you partake of it? For some of us, it's maybe going to be helping out and tutoring. We can always use help. That's on the table. All right? Might I partake of that, or helping out in Awanas, or helping out in the nursery? It's on the table. Some of this is sweet, and some of it's green beans and corn. I don't know. For some of us, maybe it's going to Brooklyn. It's on the table. For some of us, it's Puerto Rico. Maybe that's on the table for us. It's all there. What will you partake of? And will we partake of it as it is the very essence of Christ? If you and I will start looking at what goes on right here in this section of our bulletin as what's on our table today that God has prepared for me, then we'll see it all in a totally different light. Amen? In a totally different light. At the end of the valley, at the end of the darkness and the death, is what God has prepared for you and me. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for the table that you have prepared for each and every one of us. Lord, we know that sometimes we've been picky, and we know that sometimes we've turned away or turned our nose up at what you have provided for us. But to give us strength and to give us protection and to grow us and nourish us and make us more like Christ, you have prepared a table for every single one of us. Lord, help us to take notice of that. Lord, help us to see it as your eyes see it. And to take upon its goodness, the goodness that only comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one sweeter. There is no love greater. There is no sound more precious than the name above all names, our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, if there be anyone amongst us this morning who, having had that table prepared before them, in the presence of their very enemy, for the devil was there when Jesus Christ was crucified. In his very presence, Christ went to the cross for our sins. And in his very presence, the table was provided that their sins might be forgiven, that they might know and taste the goodness of eternal life. Lord, I pray that they would take advantage of that table that's prepared for them. And they would take advantage of it today. Tarry not, lost soul. Wait not and want not. We put it all in your loving, perfect, and merciful hands as always. And in Christ's name, as always, we gather, we sing, we read, and we pray. Amen.